afternoon, Kia. Today is Friday, June the 23rd, 23rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, that known Gimper.
Yes.
One for the Gimper.
Luke One Quimby. For the Gimper.
Yeah.
Full total knee replacement.
So how you feeling?
Terrible.
But better?
Oh, better. Way better. Yeah.
Okay.
Wayne Roslosnick, my main man.
Oh, I see. Mr. Payne.
Wayne's House of Pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got me in good shape, and he said my recovery physically is remarkable.
Oh.
The pain reduction is
And the mental is?
Slow. Mental? What?
You're just as dingy as ever?
Just as dingy as ever. Still holding down a productive job.
Good, good. Well, we'll find out how productive when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby and his new knee. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
Well, this is interesting. Think about identity. Who am I? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? What's important? What's not important?
Who are you?
This is from Mary Wilson. I'm never going to be a movie star. But then in all probability, Liz Taylor is never going to teach first and second grade.
Oh, that one went straight for your heart, didn't it?
Yeah. First and second grade teachers, that's the milk of education.
Oh, I would imagine that there are a lot of professions, a lot of people who have aspirations for certain professions.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they change when they're six.
From early childhood to when they turn on at 18 or 20. Easy for me
I see.
To say,
pain right? meds are still kicking in there
still
with the knee.
In, yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Why do so many want to be?
What they want to be?
A fireman, a cop, a teacher, a nurse when they're small.
Well, it captures their imagination for one thing.
Easy to understand versus an architect, say.
Well, it's not.
Or a doctor. Or a lawyer.
I know a couple of cases where a small child, these were two boys, became doctors because one of their relatives was dying of cancer when they were 6 or 8 or 10, and they wanted to fix that. So they became doctors with the goal of eliminating the disease, whether it was cancer or Parkinson's or whatever.
That's laudable.
But yeah, sure. But it's like what captures kids' imagination, and all sorts of things capture their imagination. If you're a boy and you're 6 years old, you're going for the fireman or the policeman.
Maybe baseball player, too.
Maybe baseball player because it's adventurous and it's exciting. But then other kids, they have that turn on to the adventure or the excitement. And then that moderates out as they go to school and they learn about more things about the world. And they just give that up and start studying math and science and literature and poetry and drama. And they make different decisions then.
Space physics.
Space physics. I want to be an astronaut.
You know, I did.
You did?
It took about a month.
You're way too big for that.
Bingo. You know, one, you got one of your eyes basically is blind, okay. Two, you ain't going to fit.
You know?
And somehow strapping on to the side of the spacecraft as it's going up didn't really seem a particularly strong attribute that would give me a longevity in the career mode.
I was watching a documentary on how certain sports cars were manufactured. And one of them, I forget the name of the sports car and I forget the name of the guy, but the name of the guy was a known, important, solid, stable sports car driver, winner over and over and over again. But it was 6'3". And so when they built this sports car for him, they had to put a little bubble in the canopy over his head. And they still, you can still order that car with the bubble.
With the bubble?
And it's called the McLaren bubble or something like that. But I made it especially for this guy who was 6'3".
Yeah, well, you think about it. I mean, there are certain restrictions that are in play. How do you learn to want to experience experiences? Because I would think...
Some are scarier than others.
Well, yeah, and as you're growing up and maturing and you're seeing what's going on to your folks or the neighbors, mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa start telling the story. Well, okay, maybe I don't want to be a spider enthusiast or a snake charmer or some of those things that might have been there early on. When the reality sets in, okay, fair enough. But then, now the needle starts coming back to moderation. How do you keep it from going so far that you just want to be so safe?
Depends on how much you want to do and how much is at stake. Calculated risk. If you're going to be a fighter pilot, there's always calculated risk. Particularly if you're going to be a test pilot, it's only calculated risk.
Balanced off by a good dose of adrenaline.
Yeah. But if you look at motorcycle racing, that's a calculated risk based upon your own capacities for skill, coordination, training, education, restraint when necessary. But Evel Knievel was a master of the calculated risk because he didn't kill himself. And he broke every bloody bone in his body, sometimes twice. But it was all based on a calculated risk, and sometimes the fine bleeding edge rises up and goes, click, gotcha. So that has to do with drive, because he was driven, of course, or he wouldn't have done the things he did. But the calculated risk is always interesting, because it's when you talk about things like motorcycling off the top of a building onto a ramp, right? You're talking about inches, not talking about feet or yards, you're talking about inches. And same thing with some kind of aerial things. If you're into skydiving and you pack your own chute, well, you've got an edge if you pack your own chute. If you rely on somebody else, hard to say.
Hope you tip well. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Oh, Lordy.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, so the concept of aspiring to things, obviously there's risk involved, as you were alluding to.
Yeah.
And the reward. Now, if you're an adrenaline junkie, okay, you climb El Capitan without using any gear.
If you're into free climbing, yes. Yeah,
if you know that, if you like to drive stock cars and that's how you get the rush, or you go out to the drag strip, fly, fighter pilot, skydive, all that kind of stuff, that's cool. Does that need, I guess need would be the right word, for adrenaline, is that something that tends to be inherited, or is that something that, as things, you go through life, you need a little bit more? You need a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I'm a collector of experiences, and I've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane, nothing but a war surplus Army Surplus silk rag on my back, but three times, and then I didn't make a career of it. My friend has done it 1,500 times. He does it for fun. But I'm not that kind of a junkie. Kids who have a drive for excitement, it's interesting about nurture nature. If you got the nature drive for excitement, then pretty soon you find yourself hanging around social situations where that drive is interested, respected, encouraged, or modified, or blah, blah, blah. So kids can turn into a speed junkie. You know, it's like NASCAR. NASCAR came about because the kids that were running rum during the night, rum runners, and they started racing their cars for fun, and NASCAR came about as a result of that, and so then came the discipline of rules and regulations. If you got the feds behind you and you're running rum, there's no, you just get away. You do what you have to. And so that had to do with them monkey wrenching their own cars and speed and whatnot like that. Well, then comes a whole different set of different disciplines and industries. People that build cars specifically for the purpose of going fast. And then comes the racetracks, which are getting safer and safer and safer. And then the helmet restraints and the. All of which has to do with disciplines, and it doesn't really matter how complex the circumstances are. If people don't pay attention to the discipline and run by the procedures that make things safe, they can still get themselves killed in either skydiving or race car driving. And it works around town, too. I mean, if you're impulse-driven, adrenaline junkie, but if you're just impulse driven, you can drive around town and get yourself killed too by not paying attention to the yellow light, for example. I can beat that light, really. You can beat it once, you can beat it twice, you can beat it three times, and then fourth time, T-bone or something like that, right? So when I look at what people do for excitement, I think about people like Palmer and Nicholas, the golfers, and the amount of discipline that they put into their careers. And it's huge. And it's pretty quiet. You see them out there driving range, putting.
In the morning.
Yeah, right.
They're out there with the landscapers.
That's right, yeah. And so that kind of discipline is more constrained, say, than, say, skydiving.
But if you're an adrenaline junkie, you're probably not going to be a golfer.
Yeah, I would think not. That's a different kind of discipline or a different kind of obsessive compulsive payoff. You get to shave off a yard here and a yard there on your drives, and you get to shade in 10-foot putts, 30-foot putts, 40-foot putts, right? I saw a TV thing on Nicholas, who there was a green, and the green was a large apron in front, and then an uphill slope, and then the pin at the top. And there was somebody who was agonizing over the line of putt. And Jack stood up and went, "Oh, don't make such a big deal out of it." And he dropped a ball and smacked it, and it just went in the cup. Just circumstantially, just went in the cup, and the crowd's going, "Wow!" It was just one of those things that happens once in a lifetime, right? And just took a look.
You got to be cool when you're done.
Oh yeah.
See,
and he did his hands up in the air. See, it's easy. It's not that hard. They didn't show the other guy's putt either.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's luck is favored by the prepared mind. If you prepare your mind and your body, then the little bit of luck you get, it narrows it down for the discipline, the putting, dropping the putts, and things like that.
You want a more simplified version of that?
Yeah.
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Ah, yeah. There you go. That's easy to remember.
However, you know, as far as back timing to the break, that kind of is weak because now we got 15 seconds to fill.
5, 4, 3, yeah. 2, 10.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll go out, practice our putting, and we'll
there
be back.
There you go.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. So, Lou, if you happen to be safe by nature and you want to try risk.
Yeah.
Or if you're normal and you say, you know, it'd be kind of cool to try something riskier.
Well, it depends.
How do you do that?
It depends on what the risk is.
Not stupid risk.
The first time. It took me a half an hour looking at the roller coaster to get on the roller coaster. And then I finally got on the roller coaster. And then I was after it finished, I was the first one in line for the next one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you go up on the 20-foot board in the swimming pool, and you look down, and you go, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And then you jump off, and you go, now that was cool. You know, all the sensation of the...
Or the slides,
depending on your age. Slides. Yeah, go to a resort and you go down the water slide. And so after looking at this for a long, long time, I look at some of those things and I go, well, they're engineered for the average person to take and to be okay with it. And then I watched a grandma who does something interesting and exciting every birthday, and she was 90. And she's on one of these roller coasters that is on rails, and it goes upside down and backwards and corkscrews and whatnot. And all she did was laugh through the whole thing. And then she got off, and she was still laughing. And there's a point somewhere where you get to experience new things with safety in mind. And if other people have done it in a group, like a fun park or something.
You're like the 10 million before you?
Right. Then nobody's going to die. So that's interesting stuff. And that's one way to push the limits a little bit, is go to a fun park and take those rides.
Well, now you guys do cruises and some fun travel stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I bet you have a number of folks who say, well, that's it. I've always wanted to, but... Don't feel comfortable. Don't feel safe.
I mean, traveling?
Traveling to places that are different.
Oh, yeah. I do. I knew a young gal who was adventurous, and she went to Africa alone with a plane ticket and a backpack. And she got off the plane, and she got into this little airport, and she realized what she had done. And she sat down and started to cry. And some experienced traveler came up and sat down next to her and said, how you doing? Where you headed? What's happening? And she bucked up, and they talked a while. And she spent the next 3 months bouncing around Africa in places that would just scare the bejesus out of me. And she came out of it without a scratch, never got assaulted, never got confronted, beats the heck out of me, you know, about travel, right? So there's all kinds of things. You get one of these, like, Viking crews through China, and they're all programmed ahead of time, and they're all covered by state-sponsored entities to make sure they got enough fuel, and they got all their imprimaturs for the passports and the rest of the stuff, and they take them in small groups into the Forbidden City and the. So you get to avoid a lot of the scary stuff, the legitimate scary stuff. And so you get to see the highlights of the Chinese culture. And it's safe enough. American food. You know what I mean?
American food, American water, okay.
American food, American water. And it's safe enough. So there's all kinds of There's all kinds of variations on pushing the limits about travel, for example. And they've got Antarctic expeditions now. And I was looking at that, and I heard somebody say, it's the most interesting thing I've ever done. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, let's see. You got frozen water. You got icebergs. You got ice cliffs. And then you got more ice. And then there's more ice after that.
Put a little frost just...
And I'm, yeah. Now, other people find it just bloody fascinating. I don't know what I would do with something like that.
You'd probably learn to appreciate the different types of ice.
Of ice, yeah. Yes. Eskimos have got like 23 names for different kinds of snow, and they're all different, and they have different effects on them. And you can only build igloos out of three or four of the different kinds of snow. The rest of them, they all fall down. So it's local knowledge, right?
And just imagine all the penguins.
Yes.
Which would be kind of cool, too.
So pushing the limits is interesting, and I think the first step, if you want to push the limits, is ask other people what they've done about it. Ask the people that ride motorcycles. Ask the people that travel.
Let me show you my fingers.
Is it? Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay. I may take it off the radar screen real quick. KINS, News and Information Times, 341. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, there's a phrase that's used, death wish. And normally it's an association with young males doing things that you just kind of scratch your head. You know, we got the Darwin Awards as part of that also now.
And
Right. Okay. Is that the desire, do you think, for ultimate adrenaline experience?
I watched the some of the television program about the stupid stuff or whatever it's called, and they got teenagers jumping off of roofs and attempting to do a somersault onto a large exercise ball, and then they miss the ball and they hit the ground, and it just... You know, think about, they could hit their head, they could break their neck, they could be paralyzed from the neck down, or they could land and break their pelvis.
They just land funny.
And yeah, they don't. They miss the bouncy ball altogether, and they're doing this fancy trick off the roof. And it's not a death wish. It's just, there's no planning about consequences. And a lot of this stuff, I think, they don't understand the physics of what happens when you step on this lever. Whatever's on the other end is going to go up hard. And they don't understand the physics of it. And they don't experiment with small examples first. They set up this 15-foot 2x12 plank and then wonder why somebody gets smacked in the head when somebody jumps on it.
Yeah, teeter-totter that throws you over the fence.
Yeah. And there's no planning ahead. So I don't think that's a death wish. I just think it's stupid and unprepared. And
right, but there are some that they're accused of having that.
Well, if you want to look at death wish, then look at Evel Knievel.
Fair enough.
I mean, if you want to talk about death wish, I mean, he put himself in harm's way to extraordinary lengths. But they were all measured. There was math behind them. He wasn't stupid.
Yeah, it wasn't impulsive.
It wasn't impulsive. It was all thought out, methodical, and mechanical. But death wish, it's an interesting philosophical conundrum about whether people have a death wish or not.
It's probably easier for those of us
if they have
on the sidelines to attach that phrase.
Right. If they have a death wish, they're certainly doing it the hard way. You know, if...
They go bungee jumping without the bungee.
Which means
that'll take care of you. Yeah.
The death wish is different than the suicidal inclination. Because if they were suicidal, then there's all kinds of ways to do it without a 2x12 plank, you know, landing in the pool. Then there's a guy that had the water slide, and it got, I don't know, 60, 70 feet, and then it goes down. Then he flies off the water slide, and he flies over the meadow and lands smack dead center in a 5-foot wading pool. Just bang. And I'm thinking, ooh, boy. Somebody's got to do the math on that one. Just to know exactly where that's going to hit.
Better not put on too many pounds.
Oh, gee.
Land 2 feet short.
Snickers bar beforehand and you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because that's all it would take, 2 feet short.
What about explorers and people like that? Is that a form of adrenaline?
Well, I've always seen that as a driven curiosity. I remember when I was in junior high school reading about OSA and Frank Johnson. I think it was Frank Johnson, the Africa explorers. And they pushed the limits about their explorations in terms of encountering elephant, lion, tiger, rhino, hippo, all of which are extremely dangerous if you get in their face. And so they were explorers and documenters, like we know now for the National Geographic Society, that sort of thing, Smithsonian. And they would film this stuff, and they'd push the limits. But they pulled back so they didn't get trampled or killed. And then I remember them coming around the schools, junior high school, town halls, and showing the movies. And you pay your bucks, and you go in and you watch the movies of these people's travels through Africa, which is now supplanted, of course, by YouTube. You can see anything on YouTube. But I remember going to these things with a sense of awe and wonder and saying to myself, gee, could I do that? Would I do that? Would I like to do that? And then I started thinking about, well, let's see. Let's look at bedding, food, clothing, shelter, bathroom. I'm going, nah, that's me.
See, I stop and start with mosquito.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, right. Or you stop and start with mosquito, yeah. You see them wandering around with this net over their face.
Right.
What's that? Well, they have anti-malarial. Anti-malarial? I'm out of here. Yeah. So there's calculated risks for all kinds of interesting rewards. So they get to travel all over Africa, take the films, and then travel all over the United States and show the films in all kinds of different venues. And after the film, they talk to people and visit and have the reception and coffee and a cookie. And they just go all over the United States. And it's an interesting life.
So what I've kind of been sensing is to normalize something.
Yeah, yeah.
Allows perhaps the opportunity for you to do something that you might otherwise be
hesitant. Yeah, so it doesn't look so weird, strange, and bizarre.
No, I'm saying like public speaking, for example. But well, that's one of my greatest fears. Thanks for coming by.
Okie dokie.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.